So I'd like to thank everyone for coming here. And since it's the eve or the first day of Chaturmasya, Shaini Ekadasi, Krishna takes rest, and we would like to also. But he's making us stay awake and he wants to sleep. He won't sleep long, it's only 8 hours of his time, but for us it will be 4 months. And it's not exactly like the Rasa dance, but gopis had one night with Krishna and extended for a night of Brahma. But we have 4 months to increase our love for Krishna and show the Lord that we really care by abstaining from things we like a lot. And trying to do things that we don't like a lot, like chat and hear about Krishna. So I've just given an overview. We printed sheets, which probably all of you have. You can check those and see what you want to do. Some interesting things. These are not recommended generally. I'm just going to give some basic thing understanding. Foods that you have that list, you can decide what foods you want to eat. What's nice, one thing I like that everyone can, the diets may vary, but we try to find some common factors here which may be applicable to everyone here. What any individual may do, that's his private choice. But some of these practices are very good for mental spiritual health, and they're also austerities. One of them is to eat in silence. This is one of the greatest, one of the many unlimited beautiful teachings that Srila Prabhupada introduced us to in America. And it was, at first it was hard to get adjust to sitting in a room with 50 friends, and we're all God brothers, and there was some other room where the ladies took and we didn't even see them. Los Angeles. Here everything's a little bit close together, but there we don't even know. We don't know about what they did. We didn't hardly ever saw any ladies. Didn't eat together. In the temple there on the balcony, what do you call it, a balcony? A theater with some balcony. First floor up there in the back half, you know, the front half is open or something in the back, mezzanine or balcony. So all the about 200 ladies were up there with their kids, and down in the temple room in front of the deities was all the men. Initially, they were side by side, but in the new temple where I joined, before that they would dance side, probably was in the middle, looking at the Rukmini Dwarkish, and maybe, I don't know, whoever, I think that was it. Women were on one side, the men were on the other. They would dance back and forth opposite each other. And probably even give some lectures back in the early days. He said, just like this, these boys and girls are dancing together. It's so funny. These boys and girls are dancing together. Not together as we know it, but they're actually, and when I came on Sunday feast in 74, that was the old temple in Watsika, and the new temple is being constructed next to it. And it's like a temporary temple, but it was for some years. And Prabhupada was in the middle, and we would dance up to the deities and dance back. And with the women right there, there's like about a 5 foot space, 5 foot aisle between them. And nobody, we didn't even know there was any women in the room. Nobody, we're all young, and everyone was looking at the Rukmini and Dwarkish and Prabhupada Rukmini and Dwarkish, and they were doing this. And I was just a visitor, and I thought, this is so beautiful. There's the energy and presence of men and women, but there's not the contamination that usually generates when they come together due to the, you know, enjoying spirit or exploiting spirit. So the Prabhupada, when he introduced this silent eating in silence, because I would say, oh, I want some more rice. Shh, just we'll come like this, we'll like this. And yet we got trained how to eat in silence, because we never ate in silence in America. That's when you come to the dinner tables, when you actually talk to your parents and the news and the latest things and this and that. And it's wonderful, because I eat in silence every day. Of course, silence means to only hear about Krishna, and only speak about Krishna. Prabhupada said that's the definition, mon brat. Don't speak. Mon brata means you don't speak anything. Mon, I'm mon, I don't speak. Some sadhus, they take a breath, a vow of mon, they, for 7-11 years they don't speak, they write on a piece of paper. It's also like speaking. A prophet said, mon means don't speak nonsense, only speaking about Krishna. This is the real mon. Because you may not be speaking, you have a mon breath, a vow of silence. But your mind is speaking so much, and desiring so much, and so much chatter is going on in the mental chatter, mental gossiping, mental fault finding. Oh, this stupid person. And that's what we work it all out in our mind, then we speak it. We think he's stupid, he's a jerk, and then one day we meet him. You're stupid, you're a jerk. But we already, what that speaking was precipitated, for, you know, preceded by this thinking process. But if you're always thinking that Krishna is in everyone's heart, and your Ishtadeva is in everyone's heart, everyone's part and parcel of Krishna, whenever you see anyone, you're happy to see them. Because you're not thinking bad about anyone, you're just thinking everyone's a carrier of your Lord. They don't have friends. Devotees don't have friends and enemies. Devotees become people's enemies or friends. To the devotee, everyone is his friend. Because Krishna is a friend of everyone. And so the devotee is right side by side with Krishna. So Krishna is seeing everyone as his friend. And the devotee has Krishna drishti. He sees the same as Krishna. Krishna is seeing everyone's my friend. And the devotee sees everyone's my friend. But then someone says, oh, you're a devotee. Your Prabhupada said, he says, as soon as someone becomes a devotee, automatically so many people become his enemies. He becomes the enemy of someone like Richard Sura, that whole thing. He becomes the enemy. So many people, you know, he becomes the enemy. He doesn't have any enemies, but he becomes so many. As soon as you become a devotee, you become the enemy of so many other people. Oh, what's this? You join Hare Krishna. You're crazy. I don't like you. This. So eating in silence is one of the recommended vows for 4 months, 120 impossible days. At least we could think about it. It's a little difficult with children and mothers and fathers. And generally, one must keep in mind that Chaturmasya Vrata is specifically and primarily for vanapras. That which everything should be understood in context. Lord Chaitanya followed Chaturmasya. But in the Puranas, Chaturmasya was a recommended vow for those that entered the Vanaprast ashram. They would do all these strict things to counteract all the bad things they did, not cutting their hair and nails and eating on the floor, and to counteract all the bad things they probably did with their businesses and their etc. Family life and business. There's lots of lying and cheating and different things that go on, which may be illicit or immoral. So the vanapras time it says that the duty of vanapras is to perform austerities. Do you know that? And the duty of grihasthas is to serve guests and give charity. Duty of brahmacharis is service of guru and study, shastra swadhyaya. And duty of sannyasis is to meditate on God, or in our case, to preach. Or like the Mayavadis, they meditate on soham. Brahma, soham, I am that. I am it. I am that. I am everything. I am Narayan, Namo Narayan. So that's people generally think, oh, Supasya, that's for the brahmacharis. Service, legs. Brahmacharya represents legs, isn't it? The brahmacharya represents legs. Brahmacharya Grihastha Vanapras, and yeah, so he does seva. So that's one interesting vow. At least we could have one day a week silence. That would be nice. You know, and the family talk, it's okay, Radha, we're going to have one meal together silently. And it's a very nice way to communicate. Give me, I want pakoras, I want more chutney. Because if the server is doing it properly, you have the spoon, and when there's silence is the rule of the service, because every day I ate in silence. Every day 50 people ate in silence. There was some Harikata, they were reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, was being published, we were reading it. Krishna book in the night and the lunchtime, and it was Chaitanya Charitamrita and breakfast. brand new, fresh from Japan. And but there was, no one ever had to ask for what they wanted to eat. Wasn't that many things being taken around? It was just oatmeal. Oatmeal. You get seven. Everyone got seven chickpeas, so you couldn't get an eighth one. Because someone started a rumor, which wasn't true, but they started a rumor that everyone can only eat seven chickpeas. If you eat more than that, it's not good. So they would go around, and by chance, when they was counting the chickpeas, because you can't just serve with a spoon, so they would take it with a spoon and they count them. You know, then sometimes they would slip and one go onto another person's plate. So I got eight, you know, give me back. And then they would have a little skin on them because they would soak them and there was some skin or some shell like on the thing. So you have to press it on their paper, on the wax paper. Was the plate was actually wax paper. It's on this movie also. So you press it and then it would, you know, the covering would come off and you eat the chickpea. A lot of times you press it and it would shoot off into the other guy. You would press the chickpea, it would shoot onto the other guy's plate. And he'd say, hey, what are you doing? Oh, sorry, you know. Hey, I'm a Brahmin, you stupid bhakta. Oh, sorry. Now you put your hand like this, you know, on your hand, so you don't, your chickpeas doesn't fly off. And then later someone asked probably the question, is it true? Because it was going on for years, actually. You know, Prabhupada said, or Manadi Maharaj said, or anybody said, and he didn't say it at all. He never even thought it. So he said, Prabhupada, is it true that we're only supposed to eat seven chickpeas? And he said, no, I never said that. You can eat as many as you can digest. You can digest 700 and be Krishna conscious and not fall in Maya. Then you eat 700 and be Krishna conscious and serve Krishna with all that power of the chickpeas. So like that. So they would come around because I was trained to serve. And you carry the bucket and you couldn't drag it and put it, you know, pop, don't. You couldn't let it touch the ground. So you had to be a little strong. Carrying a steel bucket of oatmeal, it was usually oatmeal for breakfast. Another one, orange and apple inside, or banana. And then you would, of course everyone gets their first serving. Then you go up and down the aisles and you have a spoon in the spoon and you would just go, you know, like this. And they would go like, you know, Indian thing, you know, like this. And that's the first thing we learned about Indian communication. Because it's silence, so you have to go, no. Or usually, Americans usually they go like this. Or they use their hands more than the head. They don't know this head thing. So the best activities one can do in Chaturmasya, from which he gets crores of benefit and sukriti, is to, you'll become sinless by these activities and you'll go back to Godhead. So every day you should take a snan in a holy place like Yamuna or Radhakund, if you have the fortune. Or throw some Ganga water in a bucket and take bath in Gange, right here in Goragaon. So you put some Ganga jal. Not so much Radhakund, I don't like to take Radhakund in the bathroom. But Ganga jal, you put some drops of Ganga and say Gange and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then that's one. And why is that? Because Skanda Purana is saying, during Chaturmasya, Lord Vishnu lives in all bodies of water, all holy bodies. Because he's lying in water, but he's lying in all the holy waters. This is a very interesting point, extremely. So it's Charanamrita. You're bathing in Charanamrita. Vishnu in Charanamrita. It's a very interesting point I noticed in some of my notes I overlooked in previous years. That during Chaturmasya, Lord Vishnu is residing in all the waters. It says in all water, but when it didn't specifically say holy water, but it's implied because previously it says that Tirtha Snan. Tirtha Snan doesn't mean a bath in your New York City apartment or your Delhi apartment. It means a holy tirth or tirth or whatever. And it went on to say, especially in Chaturmasya, great purity comes from the water of holy places. And the second thing is giving charity to Brahmins, of course, and temples. Third thing is fasting. Fourth thing is studying Shastras. And fifth thing is puja, nice puja to Thakurji, extra puja in Chaturmasya. And the fifth thing always stands supreme everywhere in the Puranas. All the Puranas are always glorifying the queen of the Puranas, the empress. They have a tendency. All the Mahatmyams and all the Puranas, they're like maidservants of the empress. Empress means the royal queen, the emperor. You heard the emperor? There may be many kings, and there's one emperor. Like in India, they had the Mughal emperor. But so many kings in India were under his control. You may know that. The Rajasthan kings and the Mewar kings. And they all submitted, the smart ones submitted themselves because they realized that he's big, he's powerful, and they're ruthless. And they made a nice arrangement. So they gave some, I don't know what they did, but somehow they paid off. Especially Rajasthan had very little Mughal problems because they were friends. In fact, the leader of Akbar's army was Man Singh. A very interesting person. Because the very person, Man Singh, who was under the order of Akbar, he attacked Orissa and the temple of Jagannath. Because he's working for the emperor. This is in the history of the Jagannath Mandir. Because we know Man Singh. What do we know Man Singh for? He built the Radha Govindaji temple in Vrindavan with the stone that was donated by his boss. That red stone was reserved only. Usually red stone has little white spots in it. Red sandstone. Pure red sandstone is only blood red. There's no little white little spots in it. And that was that high quality, rare red stone was reserved for the Muslims' palaces, etc. Fatehpuri or something, what do they call it?
Fatehpur Sikri.
What is something like that? Fatehpur Sikri. That's like some house of the emperor or something? The Mughal emperor lived there? What is it?
It was a township.
Very close to Agra.
What is it? It's a cow? I mean, what is it? It's a building.
It's a
city.
It's a township.
Yeah, well, I think that was the headquarters of the emperors, I believe. Is it right? I understand that there's a big mosque there and a big palace of Aurangzeb. Anyway, so he donated a stone, and Man Singh, he convinced him, because Man Singh became influenced to go to Vaishnavism by whom? Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, he was preached to Man Singh, and he became a devotee of some sort, inclined to give charity. So Raghunath Bhatta said, why don't you build a temple for my Shiksha Guru's deity of Govindaji? So he did. So I don't know how we got into that, but so I'm saying the Empress is the Srimad Bhagavatam. And all the Puranas glorify the Bhagavat Puran. Because they all have, all the Puranas, Skanda Puran, and Bhagavat Puran, and Padma Puran, they have a chapter called Bhagavat Mahatmyam, the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So everywhere you'll read Panchanga Bhakti. You've heard of that? Nectar devotion. Five most important prem-giving limbs. Nam Sankirtan, Atura Vas, Thakurji Seva, Sadhu Sangha, and Rasika Bhakta Saha, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Saha Sangha. To hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rasika Bhakta Saha, with Saha Sangha, Saha Sang, and the association of Rasika Vaishnavas, which is rare. Like Radha Govinda Swami, hearing that Bhagavatam from him, that would be coming under that category. No doubt about that. Rasik Bhakta. Have you ever heard this Hindi? It's very simple and clear Hindi. I've listened myself. Phenomenal. He has Veno Geet, so many Geets, Rasa Leela, everything. They all recorded in Rishikesh or Haridwar. He would invite only his disciples, and he would speak all the Geets of the Bhagavata. Everywhere else he would speak Kapila Shiksha and Dattatreya's teachings and all kinds of things. So many places. But there, invite all his disciples. All Surdas Bhajans. He has all Surdas and Surdas. There's two Surdases. There's Surdas, then there's Surdas Sham. Because I lived for a year and a half with Radha Govinda Swami Maharaj and Bhuvaneshwar in the Brahmacharya Ashram, 1987 to 1999, I went to Radha Damodar. So when I came in September 87, I needed a place to stay, so they said, well, you should stay here with your godbrothers. I said, fine. He's a sannyasi, you can stay with him. And Bhuvaneshwar, so that was a good connection. And now I'm living with a rustic bhakta and a head cook. That was good. Good fortune. And I was amazed by his incredible behavior. Up at 3 o'clock every day, go to the bathroom, come back in 5 minutes, and sit down in his book stand, open the Bhagavatam and start studying and taking notes. And he would sit there until 11 o'clock at night. Disciples, he had about 700 disciples at the time, and they were in Bihar, and they would come, they were staying here and there in temple, and they would bring a tiffin of prasad, and from the temple prasad they would make a tiffin and bring it up and just put it, come in the room and just sit it neck near him. He would just look, nothing was said, and he would leave. And prasad would sit there for hours whenever he decided he might eat something, and then he would eat something. Amazing. And just never feeling sleepy or anything, just notebook after notebook after notebook after notebook. Studying. I remember when he did his first saptaha. Maybe it was Sholapur. It sounds like Sholapur. And that was in 1990 or so. So he really impressed upon me the glories of the Empress of the Puranas, the great queen of the Puranas, Saravedanta Sarami, Sri Bhagavatam Ishtyate. This is the essence of the essence. So these five activities, if performed in Chaturmasya, will give crores of benefits. So we should really increase, if we're not already, but increase our study of Bhagavatam. Tirtha Snan is not always so practical. If you live in a holy place, you should try to. Early morning bath in a holy place, that means before sunrise, is best. If not then during Pratak Kal. Preferably in the earlier part, 6 a.m. to 8:20. And then another interesting point, I'm just listing some interesting points that maybe you have never heard before about Chaturmasya. Also in Chaturmasya is the demigods, they take residence in all the trees and creepers. And very interesting point here. They take residence in all the trees and creepers, all the 33 crores of demigods. And one can get the benefit of worshipping, during Chaturmasya alone this is, one can get the benefit of worshipping all the demigods by worshipping every day Tulsi Maharani. Krishna Jivani Nandani Pushpasara Tulasi Vishwapavita Vishwapujita Brinda Brindavani. Brinda Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. She is the Pushpasara. There's a prayer in Padma Puran that Lord Krishna offered to glorify Tulsi on her wedding day or something in Kartik. Krishna Jivani, the life of Krishna. Krishna Jivani Nandani Pushpasara Tulasi, incomparable. Tulasi, no compare. Vishwapavana, purifier of the whole universe. She's worshipped all over the universe. They worship Tulsi and the heavenly planets. Vishnu Puji the Vishnu Pam. Brinda Vrindavani. So because the demigods are all residing in the trees and creepers, and the essence of all trees and creepers is Tulsi. So if one simply worships Tulsi in Chaturmasya, then that Tulsi Puja in Chaturmasya will also include all the demigods and devis that are residing in the latas, the creepers and brikshas, trees and creepers in Chaturmasya. And now a lot of you are living in Vrindavan, and I've done it so many times, and I don't mind. It's not easy. It's an austerity. And I'll explain why. It says no cutting of the hair and nails. If one is pujari, he's allowed to cut his nails because that's an offense to touch nails, to bath water and scratch deities and things like that. So he cuts his nails, fingernails. The Brahmins would do that. And the other ones, it's a little austerity. But sometimes the devotees, they would cut their fingernails because devotees are all devotees, even because all of them do some kind of puja and they're touching their beads, and so it's a little. But growing the beard and the hair is, anyone chooses to, they can. And what's the benefit? And the reason I'm mentioning this, because I used to kind of laugh sometimes because we've done Chaturmasya for 25, I mean, pretty strictly for about 25 years. And I'm living in Vrindavan that whole time. So I would not shave my hair or beard for 4 months. But, so what the benefit is, you get the benefit of daily bathing in Ganga. But I was pretty determined, and it wasn't so difficult. I was bathing every day in Radhakund or Jamuna. But what I find with the people that I associate with, they're not so determined. If it was raining, I would go bathe in Yamuna. Oh, it's raining, I'm not going to go. Because when one has a brat, a sankalpa, then, you know, the sankalpa is priority. Like we have a phrase in America, rain or hail, what is it? I forget it now, but the mail must be delivered. Like the mailman, the guy that comes around a little truck and gives the mail, they walk also. They would carry an umbrella. Whether it was raining or hailing or snowing, whatever, the mail would be delivered every day. It was like that. So the mailmen are so determined at work, and we should be so much more determined to get the message from Krishna. To get a letter from, get an invitation in the mail from Krishna. Krishna will come, and if we are determined as a mailman to perform our bratas and tapasyas, then Krishna will come to our door and deliver a message. You're invited to the party. There's a party in Goloka, and you're invited. And it's, you can only come once. You only come once to this party. You enter the party and just party forever. The party never ends, and you never come back to wherever you went. You go, oh, I'm going to this party. But then you usually go back home after the party. But when you get to this party, that's the home party. That's the ruling party. It's the home party. It's the only party. It's Leela. Leela means party, drama, enjoy, fun. It's a fun land. This is a drag land. Place is a drag, as we used to say 30 years ago in America. 40 years ago. So, a lot of people, they're living in Vrindavan, but you can read in one purport in the Bhagavatam, the purpose of our Krishna Balaram temple is to give the residents there an opportunity to live in Vrindavan and every day take a bath in Yamuna. It's right in a purport. So now, of course, this was the one that is most attractive, because a lot of the benefits of Chaturmasya Bratas are Sukritis and other things that are connected to Vaikuntha or to this plane or to next birth or improvements on this plane of rebirth or promotion of Vaikuntha. But the one and only Vrata that was most attractive to most Vaishnavas was the one that says if someone performs this one Vrata, then he will go to Goloka Vrindavan to forever serve Govinda. And that Vrata is to not eat any milk products for 4 months. And sattvic devotees, they really like milk. Brahmins and brahminically minded sattvic people, they love milk and anything that milk does. Wherever it goes, any direction milk goes in, people will follow it. If milk goes and becomes ice cream, we'll follow it. If milk goes and becomes yogurt, we'll follow it. If milk goes and becomes rasgulla, we'll run after it. If milk goes and becomes burpee, we'll fight for it, or we'll die for it. So wherever milk goes, the tongue and mind and body of the Brahmins will go shortly behind, you know. So therefore, if you give that up, which is so near and dear and lovable and palatable and delectable and desirable, then Krishna will come and say, hey, come on now, I'm going to stuff you 24 hours a day full of milk products. And I'm going to share my rasgullas with you. And these rasgullas were made by Radharani. But I want to see what kind of devotee you are. Are you going to eat your rasgulla like Radha? Are you going to eat your rasgulla like me? So then if you're eating with Krishna, then you better eat like him. How does Krishna eat a rasgulla? That's the question. Just to show off in front of Radharani, he goes to the bowl, he picks up and goes, toop. And Srila Prabhupada used to do this sometimes with sweets. He would fire them from the desk, like Sandesh, or any. They put this plate on the desk to eat. They clean up. Sometimes even on his desk, marble desk. And he would look, and he would see something he liked, and go, take it very, like this. So I don't know how he did it. He didn't like wind up like a cricket pitcher. These cricket guys, they go like this, and they run 50 yards. I couldn't understand what the cricket people were doing. And I played American baseball. I was a pitcher. You know, I used to pitch. So I was pretty accurate. And I didn't like, you know, so... And I was pretty ruthless also. And I was very fast. I could really throw the ball super fast. And I didn't realize, I guess they throw much faster that way. You just sit there in this little pad like this, and you put one foot on, you do the wind up, and then you lean back, and then you throw. There's a pitcher's mound, it's raised, so the ball, you're a little bit high, so the ball's coming down at the guy. It's coming, because the mound is like this, and he's on a flatter surface, he's lower. So that's an advantage, because your gravity's on your side, so it's going, phew. But here, the guy's, here it bounces, goes anywhere, it doesn't matter. But they know what they do. They run and I said, what are they doing? There's so much effort just to throw the ball. The end result is the same. You throw a ball, somebody hits it, and you run after it. Isn't it? And they waste so much time. You see, the guy catches it and throws it. Because when I came and saw what they call bowlers, it's called a bowler. Yes. I saw these guys, I said, oh, I could never, I would be too tired to do that. So now another interesting thing, and I saw a lot of these things with my eyes, I always wondered what they were doing. Because I lived in Radhadamodar, and it's a neighborhood full of devotees. And one, it says, circumambulate Radha and Krishna, deities, hold some fruit in your hand, and go 108 times around. So I would see ladies usually, because they're a little more devoted and all that kind of stuff. But they would come to Radhadamodar and they would go 108 times around the temple and the deity with fruits in their hand. And I would think, what the hell are they doing? You know, and they're following the Puranas there. they're going back to Godhead. So that, and what happens if you do that? It's, well, I guess it's interesting when you think of things in a comparative way. And it says that if one does this, then he'll never fall into sinful activities. I mean, that's, talk about Krishna Insurance Company. This is like mega, this is like Yamaraj Insurance Company. Because this keeps you from running into Yamaraj and accidental on your car, bumping into Yamaraj in the highway. Your insurance company is good for bumping into somebody's car. But this will keep you from bumping into Yamaraj on the karma freeway. All right. Karma. We're all in the karma freeway. Freeway, what do you call interstate? What do you call? National highway. We call freeway or interstate. You call national highway or something. So you won't bump into Yamaraj on the karma national highway. So I'm thinking myself to do that because it sounds pretty attractive. And I'll just put my Thakurji in the middle of the room and 108 times won't take too long. No milk products, you go to Goloka Vrindavan. Ghee is okay, you can eat ghee, but no anything else. Anything that has milk in it. Sweet rice, no. We did it for a few years. A few years. And everywhere it's told not to eat honey. And in one place it says in Skanda Purana, anyone eats honey, it's equivalent to eating meat in Chaturmasya. And it's like very, it's amazing how powerful honey is. But my old friend and I will part company. And if one sleeps on the earth, which is a little hard, then that's an also a nice boon. He will become an associate with the Lord in the spiritual world. It says Vaikuntha, but Vaikuntha is the whole thing, including Goloka Vrindavan. It's all part of the generic Vaikuntha spiritual world. Sleeping on the ground. I remember Ainger and I were discussing this in 1987 or so. As I met him when I came, I knew him a little bit briefly in America, in New York, not much. I met him more here, and in 87 we were starting our rather intense Chaturmasya program, and he was, I think, already did start the year before he came. So we were discussing all different shastras and things, and he was saying, what about the sleeping on the floor? This is, because that's not a big deal. And we're all brahmacharis, we sleep on the floor most of the time. And but you know, the floor is like marble, and it's not the earth. I said, well, you know what to do, you can't even find any earth, and if you go sleep on the earth, some guy will rob you or kill you or something. You know, it's not safe. So he said, yeah, but you know, I want to do it something, you know. So I said, what are you going to do? He said, I want to make earth in my room. I said, okay, well, I'm just going to sleep on the floor on a chattai, you know, on that. So we were already on the floor, actually. Radha Govinda Swami and I were sleeping on the floor, and there was one bed in the room, and Bhuvaneshwar was on the bed, so it wasn't a consideration. But we were having this discussion. He said, well, the floor is not really the earth. That was the discussion. I said, what to do? I mean, the floor, we're here on the floor every day. You know, or brahmacharis, sannyasi. So he said, so then he made a, because he's a little bit like a carpenter, so he made a little frame out of wood, and he went down to the Jamuna, he got some rickshaws and buckets, and he got buckets of sand. And he brought it back and he filled it with sand. Jamuna sand. He said, you're sleeping on the banks of Jamuna, Rajaraj. So I was very impressed with that. And I used to go see him, and then one day I saw the sandbox was gone. After a few weeks, I said, what happened to the I used to call it Einger's sandbox. Like kids playing the sandbox. That was just a brother. And he laughed. He said, yeah, I haven't got... He said, I haven't gotten out of the sandbox yet. And... That's so funny. So he was sitting up. He said, come on, let's come and play my sandbox. I said, no, I grew out of that, you know, a few months ago. Was it fun? Yeah, we used to joke together sometimes. Both Americans. So then a few weeks later, I say, what happened to the sandbox? He said, well, you know, it was great. It was actually quite comfortable. It's much more comfortable than the floor. It kind of takes the contour of your body. And I was thinking maybe I'll make a sandbox, but I was like a guest in the room. It wasn't really my room. It was their room, and they got, there's two devotees in every room. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, okay, yeah, I guess you can stay with us, you know. I was like an atiti stuck in over there, so I was didn't want to build a sandbox in the middle of the room. Guests aren't supposed to make waves. They go to stay at your house and build a sandbox. You may not appreciate it. So then, I said, Andrew, what happened to the sandbox? Your bed, I mean, your earth. He said, well, it was okay, but the sand was full of bugs. And they like bed bugs and there was something, fleas, I don't know. And they were biting me like anything. So I couldn't sleep, and that was nice. I could chant all night, but I'm not quite on that level to stay up all night chanting. So it was either no sleep and be like half dead or get rid of the sandbox. So that was the end of the sandbox. And then after that, he made cow dung floors and put cow dung on the floors, and that became the standard after that, which is a nice thing. So sleeping on it, some of you have just moved from Bombay and your furniture hasn't arrived yet, so you've been forced to sleep on the floor. Forced tapasya. So just see, maybe Radharani will give you your furniture in 4 months. there's been a trucker strike and you know, that we couldn't, in a rainy season and this and that. Because you must understand that now you're in the land of Vrindavan. This is not Karmastan. This is the spiritual world. And things don't work right here. And light bulbs don't work. And servants don't work. And cars. And nothing works right here. It's Vrindavan. You go to Bombay and everything. The same thing you take it to Bombay, it works. You take it, bring it into Vrindavan. It doesn't work. Because I came from America, and within one day, whatever I had from America blew up. You know, it's. And you buy all this nice thing, I buy it in Delhi, I bring it to Vrindavan, 2 days later. So it's a very extraordinary place. We don't understand it, we're trying to understand it. It's totally spiritual. The entire material universe with the unlimited mustard seeds of universes and billions of uncountable planets. It's all completely eliminated, but, you know, the pralaya, the mahapralaya, it's all just submerged and roasted and toasted and burned up and flooded out. But there's, in that middle of all those floodwaters, there's one lotus flower. Beautifully shining, pink in color, 8 beautiful petals, 16, so many, 8, 16, 32, 64. Petals, and it's, you know, floating in the rays of the sunshine and those floodwaters of the pralaya, and that's called Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. So it's a transcendental Divya Bhumi, transcendental land. We're gross, so we see it as gross, but those that are transcendental, they see the Prakat Dham, the Aprakat Dham, they see the Prakat Leela of Krishna and the Aprakat Dham. Because this is Prem Dham, so you can't understand Prem Dham unless you're a Premika. And the Prem Leelas of Radha and Krishna you can't see unless you have Prem Drishti. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksadeva Ridyesha Vilokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Gunasarupam Govindam Adipurusham Tamhamajami. Shama Sundar and Shama Dham and Shamadham and all these dhams. Vrindavan Dham, it's totally achintya, inconceivable. We can understand one drop. Uddhava Mahashaya, he went to heavenly planets directly, Sakshat, he sat at the feet, Upanasanam. He sat at the feet of Brihaspati, And most people that are coming in the parampara of Brihaspati, they learn from Brihaspati's shishya. He had a few key shishyas, I forget how many, and everybody was taught by them. But Uddhava was singled out, and Brihaspati said, "Bring him to me, I will personally train him." So Brihaspati, who is the guru of the demigods, I believe so, and Shukracharya is the guru of the unfavorable party, let's say. They're unfavorable, and oftentimes they act in a demoniac way. Not always, but they're just unfavorable to Bhagavan. They're more into sense gratification. They're not always demoniac. Sometimes they get a little out of hand. Then they become too irreligious, then they become in the category. I mean, Ravana is not exactly a demon. Interesting personalities. Generally they say he's the anti-party, he's the demon. But if you read about Ravana's character and his charity and his how the Brahmins were taken care of in Ravana's kingdom and how much welfare work he did, he's a pretty extraordinary personality. He is a Brahmin by birth, an incredible tapasvi. There's many Ramayanas in South India and many different editions, and most learned and erudite scholarly godbrother from South India, Atma Tattva Prabhu, he deeply studied so many shastras and memorized them like a computer. And he discusses these different Ramayanas in Telugu, because he's a Telugu person, I believe. And he describes how how Ravana was basically a good guy until he stole Sita. He was stealing a lot of people's wives and beating them up, but that's what Kshatriyas do. Fight is a fight. So, anyway, I don't want to spend the whole Kasi glorifying Ravana, but the point is we should sleep on the earth for these 4 months, and this year I've done so many times, I still have till tomorrow to think about it. Usually what I have is a bed, wooden bed I'm sleeping on, and I fold it up against the wall. But in the place where I usually fold it up against the wall in my room, now there's an almirah there full of books. And this kutir is so small, I don't know where to put it. That's not a good excuse, because there is a lot of floor space. So I have to think about that. Yad-yad acharati shrestas. But I always been doing this by Krishna's mercy for 25 years, and I don't think any of my followers were doing it. So I like personal initiative. I don't like anukaran. I don't like imitation. I like personal initiative. Hear the shot. See an example. Get inspired. Don't imitate. But if you see the guru or some great devotee doing something, you're genuinely, heartily inspired by that good example and that shastric injunction and encouragement, and you're inspired in the heart to do it, then you do. Oh, he's doing, I should do. This is not the way. This is imitationism. And it won't last. Because you're saying, he's doing, I should do, and you'll do, but then you'll fail. Because the determination won't come because you're not connected. It's just a mental thing. Accept today, reject tomorrow. But heartly things are coming from the plane of intelligence and determination and from the super soul. Because inspiration is coming from the super soul. Yeah, I'm inspired. Yes, I feel I can do this, and I'll do this, and I want to do this. And then you'll get the strength from the super soul. Oh, he's doing, yeah, maybe I should do it. Yeah, maybe, yeah, I think I'll do it. I'll try it. And you'll do it for 2 weeks, and then, oh, my back hurts, is that? Doctor said. So many things your mind will tell you. You accept with your mind, you reject with your mind. That's why they say the guru, and one great guardian of devotion, we heard he was explaining, When you accept the guru from the heart plane, that's a real acceptance. And this is exactly the words Prabhupada used. When I met my guru in 1922, At that time I accepted him in my heart. Prabhupada didn't say I thought he was a guru. He said, I accepted him in my heart, although I wasn't ready for initiation. Mentally and physically and whatever in my life standard, I was not ready. But 11 years later, I was ready. My heartly accepted. And then we see the depth of his acceptance. How deep and how profound his acceptance. That's what I see today in the modern world. All these people, they accept this ISKCON Guru today mentally, and then reject him tomorrow mentally. Then they accept this Gaudiya Math Guru today, and then they reject him tomorrow. Then they accept this Babaji. It's all mental. It's not the real thing. Mentally you examine, and logic and mentality you examine, you listen. But then you have to, that's why mentally you hear, you read books, you hear so many things, oh, this is my guru. Then you live for a year. Minimum. It's actually Hari Bhakti Vilas says you should live 3 years at the feet of the guru and serve him like a menial servant. Can you submit your ego? Can you submit your body, sense, everything to the lotus feet of this person? And after 3 years, if your heart is saying yes, 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 affirmative yes, then you say yes. Shishyasthayam mam shadimam pram tam mam prapanam. I want to be your shishya. I surrender unto you. Just like a man is getting married, he just thinks, oh yeah, I think this girl's nice, yeah, I'll marry her. He thinks 10,000 times and this way, that way, deliberates for years and months and days and, you know, yes, no, yes, no, and I would hope so. And then get so many advices from so many people, what do you think, and this and that, and lots of input, because it's a major, major, major decision. So guru is 10,000 times more major than picking a husband or wife. Because, you know, husbands and wives is a few years, and guru is your whole eternal career. This is all the kind of thinking I had, because I was meeting so many gurus before, and none of them hit the heart. They looked cool, sounded cool. There are so many different things. Then these are reasonable things I'm telling. These things I've told you so far, they're reasonable things. Anyone can do. And very valuable. Circumambulate the temple of the Lord 3 times while offering prayers. Go to Vaikuntha. That's every day, 120. Oh, I don't feel like it today. I missed it today. Actually, it's a very interesting thing. When you take these 4-month vratas, it's really long ago, and having some experience, you even take a simple breath and you see how difficult it is. Say Kartik, so only 1 month, that's why generally Gaudiya Vaishnavas only do something for 1 month. And I will offer a ghee lamp every day to Krishna deity or picture. Sometimes that becomes impossible. You're so busy this way that, oh, I forgot. You know, if you're not living in the institution where you come and they do the institutional ghee lap, and everybody, here's your ghee lap, everybody offer, ding, ding, ding. But if it's an independent expression of your devotion, and it's up to you, no one's going to put it in your hand and ring the bell for you and point you towards the deity, that you have to want to do it and remember to do it. Because I know, I mean, I don't have family, and I've had so many different brahmas I would do. So it's 11 o'clock. Usually I would do it in the morning with someone because I have so much preaching and things come up. This one, that one, preach and this and that. Oh, I forgot. I had to do my ghee lamp. So I already put Giraj to rest already. So I get up my ghee lamp. So Giraj is sorry, but this is my breath. I have to offer my ghee lamp. So sing Damodar prayers. He's sleeping and I'm singing Damodar prayers at 11:30 at night. Generally it's supposed to be done by most Gaudiyas, they do in the morning time. It's a morning leela, and some groups they do in the night time, whatever seems to be convenient, but the idea is to do it every day. So you'll see, I don't know what you're experiencing with breath, I'm going to chant this 2-5 astakams every day. So you're like really going super fast for 5 days. then oh my throat, this that. Then they oh my mother-in-law, this that, hospital, this that. There were so many things. Oh my asta comes, then you come back. Oh well, anyway, what to do? I tried. So that's why it's generally told, don't take a vow that you can't fulfill. It's better to take one vow. I will get up every day and chant Hare Krishna. Some vow that you haven't been doing that you can really do every day. I will touch the Bhagavatam every day. I'm serious, but usually you don't even touch it. I'll get it. Where is that Bhagavatam? Oh, here it is. You don't even see it every day. What does speak of touch it? What does speak of read it? Unfortunately. Especially we should... there's so many things. These are very powerful things. Chanting the holy now here is the best thing. And I was discussing this with... I was discussing with some friends. And they were saying... One particular guru, he says... I don't care what you do for 3 months, but the main vow, the main brata is chant the holy name, Nam Sankirtan. In Kartik, then you should make serious vow. And that's the general standard here in Radhakund and most Gaudiyas, even Radhadamodar temple everywhere. 7 temples in Vrindavan, they do what they do, and all of a sudden, and it's Kartik, and the Saivite offering Mangalartik. So then, and then after Mangalartik in the Samadhi, Rupa Goswami, you know, the Bhajan Kutir, so many prayers and asakams for 3-4 hours every day. It's unbelievable. You see Vrindavan, when you live in the village, all of a sudden Kartik is like a whole revolution. All of a sudden these bells are ringing at 4 o'clock and all these artis. Every single temple has artik at 4:30 in the morning. Usually you hear bells at 6, 6:30, 5, this, that. Because I lived there for 3 years at Sevakunj, all of a sudden... Wow, what happened? And then as soon as Ekadasi, the last Ekadasi, Uttan Ekadasi, next day, Artik and Radhadamodar is at 6:30 or something, because everyone's just got tired, and there's no more bells in the neighborhood, no more, it's real quiet, no more people running up and down the streets. Same exact thing at Radhakund. I've been here since 94, every Kartik since 94. So that's 16 years or so. And it's like, thousands of, you know, you're here, you're in the kirtan parties and so many Bengalis and pujas and dandabats and all, everywhere ladies offering dandabats and rolling on the ground, all these Bengali ladies. Then after Uttan Ekadasi, and every single temple has artik 4:30, ding ding ding. After Uttan Ekadasi, it's like a ghost town, it's so quiet. It's like you had a dream, and everyone, most people live at Radhakund, the devotees, they say, I wish Kartik would last all year. I wish Kartik would last all year. Kartiki Devi Radharani Ki.
Jai!
Because it's so exciting, it's so exciting, and devotion is flying through the atmosphere like solid cheesecake. Interesting analogy on Ekadasi. We always invariably talk about some kind of food item on Ekadasi. And for me, I saw the last piece of cheesecake about 29 years ago or something. American cheesecake. Once I had in India, they said it's cheesecake. I said, what? I said, poor excuse for a cheesecake. Have you ever had cheesecake in America? So chanting the holy name during any time, all the time, but during Chaturmasi you get crores of Sukriti. Anytime you get everything. But it's, in other words, it's very... Now, these particular acts, these five acts give Akshay Phal, inexhaustible benefits. And there's some overlapping of these other important items. One is studying scriptures, which we're having our classes every day, and if you can't come sometimes, that happens, then you should always study yourself every day. Chanting prayers, nashtakams, stutis, bathing in a holy place, giving charity and gifts, and puja of deities. Studying scriptures, chanting prayers, that means astakams, Brindadevi astakam, Brindavan astakam, Yamuna astakam, Radhakripa Kataksha, etc. Bathing in a holy place, Jamuna Ganga, etc., Radhakund. Giving gifts, especially Brahman Dan, etc., and worshipping the deities. then offering lots and during Chaturmasya. I remember Indra and I would discuss this point and have competition sometimes. It was nice points I can remember sometimes. It says offering lots of tulsi leaves to Thakurji, to your deity during Chaturmasya, get crores of benefit. He particularly likes, he always likes tulsi leaves. But I remember Indra, we would have competition who could smother their deities more in tulsi leaves. So he would get these huge handfuls of tulsi leaves, pick, you know, getting, he had all his chelas and everything, followers, pick, you know, picking thousands of tulsi leaves one by one. And you know, it's like, you have to only pick one by one. You can't, when Indians pick, they pluck off whole branches at a time. I've watched them sometimes. They snap off whole branches and not very smart. But it's supposed to be one leaf at a time with mantra and so many things. So then you would get all these piles, and I didn't have so many followers around, so I had to pick myself. Then I would get handfuls and offer to the deities because there are lots of tulsi. I used to go to the Goshala, they had hundreds of tulsi plants there. So that's something to think about. Because Lord Vishnu lives in water. What it actually says, because Lord Vishnu lives in water, because Lord Vishnu lives in water, he's lying on the, sleeping on the ocean there, and sometimes he goes places. There, when it's not 4 months, he goes to different functions. He doesn't just lie in the water all the time, sleeping, but for 4 months. Because Lord Vishnu is lying in the water for 4 months, then purity comes especially from water. It says water, and especially bathing. It says purity especially comes from water, any water. So associate with a lot of water, take a lot of baths or something. So that's just some purity comes. I don't know what exactly that means, but it usually means to get free from sins. But then it says, so some sins will go off, obviously, because it's so purifying. That's what purity means, that you get free from your sins. One who is completely sinless is totally pure. So then it says, bathing in a holy place destroys all sins. So there's a difference between getting some purity, you know, downloading a few files and cleaning off your whole computer. Or what do you say, cleaning your whole hard drive or something? Yeah, say you throw a few files in a trash can. That's like bathing in water. But like clearing off your whole, you know, erasing your whole hard drive, that's bathing in holy places.
Formatting.
Yeah, reformatting your chitta. Yeah. Your chitta board. Your motherboard and your chitta board. Chaito Dharvana Marjanam. So once all your sins are destroyed, then you have a marjan chitta, you have a clean chitta. And what's the best way to clean your chitta? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's a prayer to start Chaturmasya. O Lord Achyuta,
O Lord Achyuta,
I will observe all the prescribed rules and regulations,
all the prescribed rules and regulations,
which I decide to follow.
Decide to follow.
That's a slight editorial comment for Chaturmasya.
Chaturmasya.
Beginning from Shaini Kadasi.
Beginning from Shaini Kadasi.
I will conclude my Vrata on Uttani Kadasi. When the Lord gets Uto. Please be merciful to me, my dear Lord.
Please be merciful to me, my dear Lord.
And let my vow be completed.
Let my vow be completed.
Without any impediments.
Without any impediments.
So that's thank you for your response. This is Hari Bhakti Vilas, chapter 15, verse 115. And I hope this doesn't come as a death blow to any of the audience. But it does say absolutely no, and I suppose all of Delhi may blow up right now. But it says absolutely under no terms and conditions, even with Airtel or Anytel, you can eat rajma for four long months. No watermelon, no portal or parval, whatever you call it. Parval? Parval. No eggplant. These are absolute no-nos. And this is another, it's like a double Bruce Lee karate chop. No pickles. And absolutely no mustard oil, by the way. That's like a real no-no. No mustard oil on the body or in the body. If you take part of mustard oil in your next life, you become a mustard seed. No, I don't know. I'm just saying. So that's it for the Ekadasi.